do it to it. You're not. Properties, what's going? No, it's on my end. Hold on. There you are. You're here.
Here, there, everywhere.
I was able to fix the problem.
Wow, if only you could do that for the problems we're about to list.
Yeah.
Maybe if you had like $1 billion.
You know, if I did, I definitely wouldn't make certain decisions.
You just buy Sega. Just do what you're doing, but I'm going to do hands off.
So, I guess, welcome back.
Woo-hoo.
To the Nerd Podcast, a lethargic edition, at least for the first half. Joel, I started my day already tired, and then this news came to all of our attention, exacerbated the issue, but I felt like it was important that we talk about it, because... Yeah. This is on the list of ongoing issues that we've been talking about for over the past almost year and a half now.
I'm going to say 2. I'm going to round up. I'm going to say 2 years.
All right. So you're going to the nearest 10th. Okay. Mm-hmm. Cool. Awesome. So I guess we're not beating around the bush, today... The gaming industry got smacked with some major news coming from Microsoft. Say that Microsoft is closing a lot of studios under the Bethesda umbrella. Let's see. I have an article here from IGN. Let's see. So, Microsoft has closed a number of Bethesda studios, including Redfall Maker, Arcane Austin, Hi-Fi Rush, and Evil Within developer Tango Gameworks, and more devastating cuts at Bethesda. The other studios include Alpha Dog Games, Roundhouse Studios. Roundhouse Studios is being absorbed by... ZeniMax Online, that does the Elder Scrolls Online. So they're being absorbed. And I believe it was announced that some executive positions at Bethesda are also being laid off. They did not specify how many layoffs they're saying that are going to happen. The only thing that they mentioned is that they are going to inform the people today, which probably have already happened since this podcast was recording in the evening. Mm-hmm. So obviously this created a big online uproar with the gaming community, the Xbox community. Before we actually like fully dive into this, Joel, like what's your, because how you found out and how I found out were actually different, because you actually saw an article showing off that the Redfall was not getting its DLC, and I immediately posted that.
Yeah.
And we found out why. So what's your initial reaction to all of this?
Well, a little play by play. Yeah. I was like, hey, I just saw that, you know, Redfall is not getting their DLC. What gives? And then we find out there's a big fucking guillotine action going on. We keep talking about this. I don't, smiling, but it's like a fuck, like I don't know how to process all
this. It's at the point where it's just kind of a numbing reaction. It's like you're not surprised, you're not happy about it. Like, you're obviously, it's sad.
Yeah.
It's confusing. But we've talked about situations like this a lot. So it kind of leaves us with just kind of like this. Like I was saying, I just got exhausted about the entire situation. What I think makes this a little bit more, not different, but what's getting more people talking is that the fact that Xbox for the longest time has had such big issues with creating first-party games and creating successful first-party games. And over the last year, buying Bethesda, buying Activision Blizzard, and all of the interview. That's the thing. Comparing the three major companies like Xbox, Sony, and Nintendo, Xbox is the one that is the most vocal, or at least the one that shows their cards more in certain situations, because I can't list them all, but like a lot of people online that are people in the industry, people that are in like games journalism and like such, have been showing receipts of all the times that people from Xbox, whether it be Phil Spencer, would it be Sarah Booty, where it be Matt Booty or whatever, making these claims like, hey, you know, we want our studios to, you know, create what they want, you know, try new things. And they are saying, like, we want to be able to have the smaller games so that we can, you know, fill out, you know, Xbox Live. And last year, when Redfall happened, you know, they admitted, yeah, you know, we're not doing too great. And they admitted it. So my big question for this podcast is, it time and time again, Xbox has kind of shot themselves in the foot. Whether it be the Redfall situation, whether it be, you know, even before Phil Spencer's time with the Xbox One and that big debacle, and then basically not really having a first party presence, you know, other than maybe like the occasional like Gears of War game or, you know, Sea of Thieves or fuck. Halo Infinite, which was also a kind of a bungle too. There's still a dedicated like multiplayer fan base for it, and I played the single player game. It was fun. It was actually really good, but there was so much backlash against it that they took an extra year of development for it, and it still had its issues with the lack of content within the multiplayer suite. The fact that they tried to put multiplayer co-op in for the story and not fully successfully doing it. And, you know, and then, of course, when they bought Activision Blizzard and they made all these promises saying, it's like, hey, you know, we're gonna, you know, take these studios and we're gonna, you know, make a whole bunch of games. Like, okay, well, you signed the dotted line, and there's still, we've seen more studios that they've bought and shut down than actually see results. And that's the harsh reality of when you buy so many publishers that have studios under them, is that shit like this is going to happen. I don't know how anybody can feel optimistic at this point about Xbox. And I know there's been a lot of hate online that, you know, a lot of people are saying, like, get rid of Phil Spencer, get rid of Phil Spencer. And I understand, because that comes from a place of disappointment in the company. But I think what a lot of people need to remember is that actually there's actual analogy that I heard from the kind of funny Gamecast today from Gary Whitta. We kind of made the analogy where, Joel, you'll get this. Whenever a sports team does, like, let's say the Giants had a really bad year, what usually happens at the end of the season?
If they're really bad, those players are gone. Those players management gone? Managers or whatever, and yeah, it's a whole reset sometimes.
Yeah, and it's normally, like, a lot of times you see, like, they'll get a new manager. Like, there was a period of time where, like, for our situation, like, the Giants got, like, a new manager almost every fucking season. For, like, the later end of, like, the 2010s, like, they got a fucking new manager almost every year. But the analogy is that it's very easy to kind of shift the blame to the head that's, like, the face.
Yeah,
of the team.
Always.
But no one's pointing to the executives that are making the money decisions. So when a lot of people are saying it's like, you should get rid of Phil Spencer, it's like, I understand where that venom is coming from, but these decisions are coming from Microsoft. Microsoft saying, hey, we need to make this money for the investors. You need to find where you can cut the costs. And yeah, they're still doing it, but I can imagine it's at least for somebody who's Phil Spencer, who's been so kind of like for the love of games, like, put forward. And I personally believe it, you know, because he has, like, that kind of Dave Filoni energy where, like, he has, like, his heart on his sleeve, and, like, yeah, he is the CEO of Xbox. But he still has to listen to what Microsoft tells him, because Microsoft could just say, hey, Xbox, clean all this shit up, because you're not our main priority. We let you stay here. Mm-hmm. You know, I don't know.
Joel, I just want to say with these cuts, it's. I know there's, like, we've got this whole always this on this, at least as long as we've been alive, right? The trifecta battle, like you said, of Sony, Xbox, and Nintendo. At least I will say for Nintendo on this end, they will fucking take, like, executives take pay cuts to keep their people on, which is, like, of course, like, unheard of here, right? Of course, it's not always gonna happen, but when I always hear that, it's like, that's admirable. Like,
yeah,
you're gonna take a big hit so you can keep people employed. Like, that's always admirable. And I wish we saw that more here. Part two, Sony, of course, they won the console war. Xbox knows. Did they need to bully them, essentially? No, but Xbox didn't. Like you said, they didn't do themselves any favors either. So,
yeah. I was going to ask you, so with all of this happening, how much faith do you have that Xbox could find a way to make this work? Because, like I said, like, they've closed down so many subsidiary studios. They haven't had a real major hit in a good long while. And, you know, Game Pass, even though it's a really good deal for what it's worth, it's still not making the money that they probably wish they could make. Is there a way that Xbox can make something work, in your opinion?
To be honest, Brian, I play my Xbox for, like, one game now. You know what it is? It's not even an Xbox, like, exclusive game.
Street Fighter.
Oh, well, yeah, but I forgot about that. I've been taking a break. But you know the main thing I've been playing on my Xbox? That's fair, but just the main thing I've been playing
on Xbox is
Destiny. Honestly, if I didn't have Destiny, I would have shifted, like, for what the PlayStation can do, which I hate saying. I was, like, Xbox big time. And ever since, you know, the PS3 was $500, like, that's crazy, right? But I was telling our buddy Jameson not long ago, like, what's the point in honestly staying with Xbox? Sea of Thieves? Which not even, you could play on your computer. You can play on your PlayStation now. So, like, what do they have to do? They, well, they, you know, they're making cuts for Bethesda, which I think is the craziest thing. One of the, you know, they create one of the most successful brands, I think, as far as like RPG games go. But
can I just give you some of the bona fides real quick?
Yeah, do it, please. Put that live data out there.
So Arkane Austin is obviously the North American branch of Arkane.
Yeah.
Which up for a while made a lot of really good games. I believe before they actually split between Arkane Austin and Lyon, France, they did Dishonored. And then I believe they branched off, and of course Arkane Austin did a few other things, but like the most recent thing is Redfall. Now, yes, Redfall was a blunder, and we saw it live in person. We had that one day. We found Twitch stream that was playing, and the guy fucking stopped playing and played Yu-Gi-Oh.
He's like, fuck this shit, I'm done.
And then the one that blew me away was Tango Gameworks, the people that did Hi-Fi Rush and Evil Within.
I thought Hi-Fi Rush was successful. Like, why? I guess not enough to save Xbox, though.
So I believe when Hi-Fi Rush Shadow dropped, it got like 4 million players. And that's like combined, I think, Game Pass and PC, Steam.
Combined.
I don't know if it was combined, but it's how to get in like 4 million players when it like Shadow dropped. But according to Xbox, it wasn't as successful as they thought it would. Even though Hi-Fi Rush was all over the Game of the Year conversations last year. Like you said, like they were up for a lot of awards last year. We watched it. So it, and it's funny, because a few years ago at E3, well, back when E3 was still around, Phil Spencer came on stage and was talking about how they want to enhance their relationship with Japanese studios. And that's why they bought Tango Gameworks, because it was their one Japanese studio. And now it's gone. And you know what's even more wild? Here, I just need to look up, because I don't want to get this information wrong. So Tango Gameworks was founded by Shinji Mikami, which, if people don't know who that is, that's the guy who made fucking Resident Evil 4. And he's the reason why Resident Evil 4 came to Nintendo before Xbox. Because he had a meeting with Xbox, thought they were jokes, and so he went to Nintendo to say, hey, you want Resident Evil 4? So, like, this team, not only to mention, like, Evil Within, I had never played them, but I heard that they're very, very loved by its fan base as, like, really good games. But, like, bruh, you don't get rid of a studio like that, you know?
Answer your question. I'm not trying to pivot hard away, but it's like,
I don't know.
Resident Evil 4, I mean, come on. Honestly, if Xbox really, really wants to, I think, like, get, you know, skin in the game, so to say, they need to release like a super bona fide exclusive to win everyone over. Something like, I don't know, Fallout 5 or fucking the next Elder Scrolls has to drop, you know, with actual content ready to go, not this false Redfall promise, right? I just want to say really quick, like, I feel so bad for the people who bought a full Redfall package and they're not Like, it's over. Like, they're not getting shit.
Hold on.
It's like an Anthem Andromeda situation, right? But yeah.
Keep going, but you just sparked.
I just
remember something.
I don't know, like, if they can even come back. Like, I talking about out loud. Like, I was rooting for Xbox for a while, but it's like, what makes Xbox like stand out now? Like, I think the only thing really they have going for them is their multiplayer like ease, right? But even PlayStation has that. It's, to me, PlayStation's like joining and party and stuff is a little clunky in multiplayer functions, but maybe that's just my familiarity. But I feel like they've always had, they need to like crank out like a better Fallout 76 or something, like Back for Blood, but like times 10 better. Like, Back for Blood I enjoyed, but it wasn't exclusive, and it just, you know, wasn't Left for Dead. So
right.
I don't know what.
So
fuck, they need to do like some miracle game. What do you think, Brian? I know you're looking up. So what will save Xbox other than like, well, probably reviving some of these studios they killed? But
before I answer that, I don't know the validity of this post, but I remember seeing it a few hours ago, and you know, people can fact check it if they want to. But there's a Twitter user by the name of Juicehead that said Redfall's DLC, I guess somehow they were able to look up the data for this, but it said Redfall's DLC was being worked on 5 hours ago, and this was posted at 8:02 a.m. this morning. And there's like a data log of them actively working on the DLC before the announcement of them being shut down. So I don't know of the validity, but if that is true, holy fuck.
I mean, that holy also says fuck. To me, like, there's no, like, community transparency. There's no, like, it's almost like Bungie, right? Like, where is that community engagement? At least it's like, hey, we're sorry we're slow. It's coming, you know? But, like, I haven't been following the Redfall at all. Like, what's going on? I don't know if they've been talking to the community, but it seems like you would want to communicate, like, we got this DLC coming, right? Or it's in the pipe. The fact that, like, IGN said, what, we don't know anything, you know, kind of spoke it for me. And then now the fact that you just shared that with me is like, oh, shit. That also tells me the hands aren't talking to each other. You know what I mean? That phrase, like, the right hand's not talking to the left. That's what that's telling me, too. Like, what's going on, Xbox? Anyway, Brian, Xbox? What would save it before we go there?
I guess, so, what are you going to say? I honestly don't think there's going to be one game that saves Xbox. I feel like it's going to have to be a long-term commitment to allowing games to come out and allowing games to not necessarily be the big blockbusters they need it to be. Because we even had stories about Sony losing money on their AAA games. Like, we're saying that's like Spider-Man 2, which is a fantastic game, great ass game, like game of the year nominee, was losing the money after coming out. Like, they put so much money into that, and that's the issue with a lot of these AAA studios, is that they are trying to shoot past the moon and sink all of this money into games that they don't need. They honestly don't need to. But that's unfortunately the name of the game. So for Xbox, they just need to allow their studios to just create and be willing to, you know, have their idea that they want to have one big game every quarter that they said they were planning on doing during their developer direct this a few months ago. You know, you can have your Indiana Joneses, you can have your Fables and whatnot.
Oh, I forgot about that.
Then allow your other studios to make smaller experiences. And that's what gets me a little worried, because Arcane Austin great game, great studio, but did they get canned because of how bad Redfall was? And if that's true, or it creates this idea that all of these smaller Xbox studios could be one bad game away from being nixed by Microsoft, which makes me worried because, Joel, we are like 2 weeks away from Senua's Saga coming out, Hellblade 2. This game has been worked on for over 5 years. All the reviews say it sounds fantastic. It's like cutting edge on what like Unreal 5 could do. But they also made that release. Xbox made the release like, yeah, it's like it's going to be real cool. It's still going to be like an 8-hour experience like the first game was. It's like, so if Hellblade 2 doesn't do as well as they want, is Ninja Theory on the next chopping block? Because they have another game coming up after Hellblade 2. How the fuck long is that game going to take? You know, is Xbox going to be willing to wait that long? Double Fine came out with Psychonauts 2 a few years ago. We don't know if they're making it. They're probably making something. We don't know what it is. Are they going to wait to have another game that had the similar success to Psychonauts 2, which had acclaim, wasn't a major success like the big AAA games that they usually made? So I don't know. I'm honestly worried for Ninja Theory. Because I know what they can make. And I know that they make really good stuff. But is Xbox and Microsoft going to be willing to wait that long? I don't know. So that, I guess, long-winded answer aside, they just need to commit. They need to commit in their studios and not rely on Call of Duty to be their breadwinner. Like, Call of Duty can make them the money, but have that money allow them to have these studios create and take the risks without worrying about being shafted.
I don't know. If you could put fucking Godzilla and King Kong and Shimo and God in fucking Call of Duty, I think you should know that you could take these risks, but I guess it's just showing that it seems so, I mean, they are a business, right? That's their job to make profit, but it's just,
they absorb too much.
It's the bloat. It goes back to the bloat again. Like you said before, like it's too much. And then I hate to say this, but like, you don't need to make like an amazing trip, you know, bust this thing out so fast either. Look at what Larian did with Baldur's Gate and Arrowhead with Helldivers. You know, they, you know, did the best they can, and look what happened. They got amazing results. And man,
talking about a pivot real quick. Let's talk about Helldivers 2.
Oh man,
because all of that goodwill almost got flushed down the toilet because of Sony. Like, all of this goodwill we've had for months, or like, what, 2 months? Helldivers 2 has been out?
Something like that, yeah.
And all of that goodwill got almost flushed down the toilet because Sony wanted Steam players to
have
a PSN account, which locked out almost like 170 countries, 190 countries?
Yeah.
Because they don't have PSN.
So the thing is, like, even the CEO said on Twitter, like, part of this was my fault, right? He was being transparent, which I appreciate, right? But he said, like, we needed to do that. I just want people to play the game. They didn't even think their game was going to get enough fucking people. So it's like, okay, fair, right? And so, of course, people reacted in the way they did with the review bomb. Fair. But also, all this virtual and venom that came their way, not fair. And it wasn't them, right? We know it. I mean, sure, they ignored it, but really, we know
it's the same analogy that I mentioned before. It's whoever's the face is the one that gets the blame.
Yeah, exactly. But yeah, I'm glad the community did that. I don't like that. I mean, I like the result. I don't like the method. But I mean, how else do you get Sony's attention, right? I don't like that the community also review bombed Helldivers 1. I agree. The only time I'll say I'll agree with the
CEO. I didn't hear that.
Yeah, he said, he posted, like, why are you guys doing this for this game? This game is not even related. Like, see, that is...
That's wild.
Not cool. Right? I understand, like, the passion and the people love the game and stuff. And I do appreciate people saying, like, all right, fix your fucking post, right? People review bombed it, now put it back to where it was, you know? But yeah, that whole fucking debacle, seeing it in real time was like, oh my goodness. Like, it's funny because, like, I even posted on our TikTok or whatever, like, I'm on a break, how are we feeling? You know, of course this happens when I'm taking a break from Helldivers because we just went so ham and enjoyed it. It's like, what the fuck?
Like, yeah, I know.
Like, I just, this year for me has been like people up top, like literally like not fucking knowing, again, the right hand not talking to the left hand, or in this case, the brain not talking to the foot or whatever in their view. But I just, what the fuck? Like, I can't, man. I just fucking can't.
Yeah, I don't know. But I thought it was funny. Because Ghost of Tsushima is coming soon to Steam, and they very pointedly like point out, it's like, hey, you could play the single player mode fine without a PSN account, but you will need one for the multiplayer, which is like, cool. That's what you do before the game comes out. You don't mention that 2 months after the game came out.
Yeah. And of course, you know, they walked it back after that whole thing. They were almost in the EA territory of like the microtransactions post, right? Remember that shit? It's almost like, you know, you have phones, don't you? Like, it's like, whoa.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, that was almost all that. But yeah, with Battlefront 2, remember that with EA? Anyway, very unfortunate for Arrowhead because, of course, they are feeling all that bullshit right now. But, you know, had their head up high. You know, they even bought, like, flowers for each other. They said in a post, like, we're, you know, with rain, you know, we'll grow from the rain. It creates spring and you know, life. So,
PlayStation came in. It's like, here you go, son. And it was the PlayStation Network.
Just let the fucking people do what they need to do. That you've made that game made way more fucking money than needed to, and PlayStation was like, hey, we need to get these people on. It's like, come on now. This was a fucking miracle this happened for PlayStation, honestly. If I'm being fucking honest. Okay? And they're already like, we need to capitalize on it. Like, come the fuck on.
You think
I get it, you're a business, but
you think after announcing that they're gonna have a dry year, PlayStation would play it very safe? This is not playing it safe, in my opinion.
This is Sony level, like, weird Spider-Man spinoff shit, but I digress.
Yeah.
Yeah, the fucking Helldivers 2 thing. Oh, my God.
But I guess this goes back to talking about Variant. You know, a game like Baldur's Gate 3 doesn't happen when you are owned by somebody. Like, the only reason why that game is a miracle. And if they were under Sony, if they were under Xbox, like, this Baldur's Gate 3, the way we have it now, wouldn't exist. And the same goes for any other independent studio. Like, they get to do what they do because they don't have to listen to shareholders or, you know, their parent companies or what the fuck.
Oh, don't get mad. He said Variant, but it's Larian Studios. Don't get mad, people.
Oh, I'm sorry. Did I say Variant?
Yeah,
it's okay. I'm sorry. I'm clouded by my statement. I'm clouded by my fucking bullshittery.
We're gonna correct. If I'm gonna correct anything, it's just that
Larian. Okay. Sorry. Larian. So anyway. I'm fucking dude. You know what? Baldur's Gate 3. Those people made a good game.
It is such a fucking miracle. And it's amazing. I was playing it today. I was like, I love this fucking game. And I don't have to do bullshit. So, you know, like, you know what? It's funny. It's like, it was like, it came so late to the Xbox. Like, I can't imagine, like, if I didn't have a PlayStation 2. Oh my god. Like, my goodness, dude.
I don't know.
What the fuck? Like,
what the fuck?
Like, this whole fucking.
Like, our thoughts go out to everybody that's being affected by this, because...
Yeah, losing their job and shit.
It doesn't get easier. Unfortunately.
And it hasn't really improved.
And it shouldn't get easier. And it's not. And we're not even at the bottom yet. Like, we are not even at the rebuilding stage, unfortunately. I think it's going to keep happening until... we can actually start building up instead of building down.
We're not even halfway through the year. Our first podcast was about, you know what, never mind.
First podcast of the year is about how we already reached the maximum of layoffs from last year. If that tells you anything, it shows that we are not done yet. It will keep happening, unfortunately.
Fuck. Fuck. All right. Anyway,
I'm done exhausting myself with this shit. Let's talk about something fun, Joel.
No, we're not done yet, Brian.
Wait,
you posted about something Razer did. Remember that?
No, bullshit? I did not. Hold on.
Okay, you might want to look.
You
it
go.
Up
you go. Okay, and I'll find it.
You posted something about Embracer, but I'm just gonna put the article you posted. Razer has to pay, I'm just reading the title right now, more than $1 million for representing the performance of efficacy of their face guards they made during
their Zephyr light up face masks. The Raven masks.
They probably, a million's probably nothing for them, but still, the fact that they, it was like a fucking lie and they sold on that, like.
Yeah, so for people that are in the know, if you remember back when, you know, lockdown happened, Razer advertised their, you know, their light up, you know, RGB, you know, face mask that had like all the fancy air filters, made you look like Cyberpunk Man. Turns out they didn't get it officially approved to call it an N95 mask. So, in actuality, that mask didn't protect you fucking at all. And they got busted for it.
Like, this is the one time I was like, fuck them. Like, you deserve that. I like my Razer controller, but fuck. Like, that's fucked. Like, how many people hopefully a low number of people weren't affected, you know, were affected, if then they got away okay. But, like, that's just much, fucking evil, honestly.
How much was that?
I mean... people argue like, oh, we didn't even have to mask up. Like, fuck that, dude. COVID sucks. Okay, if you caught it, you know. Like, it's awful. And people are like, you survived, didn't you? Well, yeah.
Oh my god, it was $100. People bought an $100 mask that didn't do shit. Except light up. And
it'd be good if you were in a dark area, I guess. I didn't want to buy that. And I'm glad I never thought to. So, my heart goes out to anyone affected by that bullshit. Because that's fucked.
Jameson in the chat said today's lesson, people should just stay in their lane.
You're not wrong, bro.
You're not wrong. Oh, thank you for reminding me about that, because I completely forgot.
And last one before we go on to Star Wars, because Star Wars Day happened. I'm sure we won't talk about that. Your other one you posted, Ryan, Embracer saddled Asmodee with $900 million debt.
Oh yes. Oh my god.
Fuck that.
Yeah. So, last time we talked about how Embracer was dividing themselves to kind of hope to find a good business strategy. Asmodee, which was their board game.
They make great games.
It's their tabletop division, right?
Yeah.
What did they make?
I can think of.
Oh, they made fucking. Oh my god. Catan.
Think Catan could bail them out of $900 million?
No. So. Embracer leaves Asmodee with all of their debt, which In pounds, it's 900 million, which in like America, like USD, it's like $958 million. And that's just from all of their loans that Embracer has taken out. And so pretty much Asmodee needs to figure out how to pay him off by February of next year, or else they get fucking sacked, dude. They are dead. Embracer sent them out to die. Catan is not settling here anymore. There's no settling happening. There's only moving. Oh, fuck. Oh. Just
try Catan before they're gone.
Man, Gearbox and Saber Interactive fucking got out of Dodge real fucking quick.
Not yet. It ain't over. I'm sure there's going to be, we're going to find something out. Knock wood, I hope I'm wrong, but I feel like if you saddle a group of 900 million, that's a red flag for sure. I feel like there's something else going on too, but that's just me. I'm not part of that. I'm just a hunch. Anyway. My
God. Okay.
Let's get out of this fucking muck. Let's talk about something more positive. Fucking Destiny. Fuck them. No, I'm kidding. They released finally, after 2 years, 3 new PvP maps. All right, that's it. We're moving on. That's all I wanted to say. I tried the
Pantheon. Are they good?
It's hard. I don't know. I didn't play PvP today. Okay. I didn't play Destiny. It looked cool. Let's be okay. honest.
Fair.
You know what I played? I said what I played earlier. I played Baldur's Gate earlier. I came home and I fucking played Baldur's Gate. Okay. All right. I didn't want to play Destiny. Okay. But, oh, let's go to one fun part before we go to Star Wars. I just want to say I finished the finale of Fallout and it was really good. In case I forgot. I just want to really point out, I really enjoyed it. It was a lot of fun. You should check it out. Okay. That is nice. It. And because it was so good, my wife started playing Fallout 4. She put 7 hours in, like, without even thinking.
Hey,
so, and then I got to play Baldur's Gate at the same time. So, yeah, we did the dual thing. All right, moving on. Cool announcement I saw. Ahmed Best gets his fucking comeuppance. He gets what he deserves. There's a Lego Star Wars movie happening on Disney Plus, and Darth Jar Jar is finally happening.
I love this so much.
Finally getting his wish. It's funny because a long time ago, someone pointed out he posted hashtag Sith Lord, and you know, he's being funny with the, you know, Darth Jar Jar, you know, bullshit everyone says, but he knew all along. Kelleran Beck being a fucking Sith Lord. So if you love Star Wars and Legos, a new Lego movie comes out September 13th and Darth Jar Jar will be a thing.
So this project actually looks pretty fun, because this is like the what if of Lego Star Wars. And it's going to be a whole mess of like different things. Like I saw like AT-ATs with the Rebel logo on it and Ewoks flying X-Wings and shit.
Need a good laugh. That sounds awesome.
The Lego Star Wars specials are surprisingly good. And they surprisingly do more for the lore than moving on.
I've seen them like make fun of the lore and build on it, and some of the like snippets people share, I'm like, that's funny. Like
Have you seen the Christmas special?
No, I still haven't. I know they do some like rewriting and shit in a fun way for the Lego universe. Am I correct?
They actually like move ahead with the fact that Finn is a Force user.
Oh yeah, I think I remember you telling me that. Yeah.
Yeah.
Nice.
Anyway, Star Wars Day.
What'd you do on Star Wars Day, Brian?
I'll tell you what I fucking did, Joel. I went to my local theater and I saw Phantom Menace on the big screen again for the first time since I was a fucking child, Joel. And boy,
25 years ago,
I will tell you this. Some of the CGI looks a little weird on modern cameras. But the pod race scene to this day is still the best fucking thing to have a theater experience for. Because that entire sequence, oh my God. I cannot tell you how hyped I got for the entire sequence. The engines revving, you know, all the sound effects of Anakin trying to fix the speed his pod racer. Going through Baker's Canyon.
And their fucking ears just
who's that is? Oh man, like I had so much fun, dude. Like it brought me back. Phantom Menace is not a fantastic movie by any means, but boy, is it still a fun time.
Would you say it's fantastic?
So the Duel of Fates was still pretty fucking sick on the big screen.
I bet on the big screen it was like epic. So
it reminded me how funny it was that Ian McDiarmid literally pretty much has aged into being Palpatine. Like looking at how young he was back in 1999 and like leading up to today. It's like, damn, he fucking still rocked it being an old creepy man.
Get that poster, that cool limited edition poster?
Or the no, I didn't, unfortunately. It's okay. They didn't even fucking offer that shit.
Damn. Where'd you see it?
It was San Mateo. The tiny Century Theater, so. But I just went for the experience, though. So I didn't care about the poster. I just wanted to go see Phantom Menace on its 25th anniversary on Star Wars Day, and succeeded.
Was the theater packed?
It wasn't packed, but there was a good amount of people, and I saw it like at 6:45 in the evening, so it was a good showing. But yeah. Oh, and what was sick is that they actually showed a sneak peek of Acolyte. At the end of the movie.
Yeah.
So we got this
5-minute preview.
It was like a 3 to 5 minute like fight scene. And you get to see the Acolyte character. I don't know. I'm not like too in the know about what's going on in this show. Cause I'm not all up in like the High Republic franchise. I don't know what's going on. Charlize Theron is in this, right? No, not Charlize Theron. Wow, I am. Hold on. I do not know my actors. Let's see.
That would save Star Wars.
The Acolyte. Oh, wow, I don't know my actors. Carrie Ann Moss. So she plays one of the Jedi characters in the show, right?
Yeah.
And we get to see a fight scene between her, like, I guess minor spoilers. I don't know. They'll probably show this in the trailer anyway, but you see her fighting this like Sith Acolyte character, all masked up and everything. And they just wanted to make a Jedi that was Trinity, dude. The whole fight scene gave off Matrix vibes. Like, Carrie Ann Moss literally was like hands behind her back, doing the fucking, you know, quick dodges, stepping out of the way, all Jedi like, but also still very Matrix. And then just like.
Doesn't she have a green lightsaber too?
Yes. And I believe, correct me if I'm wrong, but isn't the stunt team from Crouching Tiger, Hidden Dragon also doing the show?
Yes, I remember hearing about that.
It shows, dude. It fucking shows, and you could see the quality in this. So I'm hyped. It comes out in June, I think. June, July.
Yeah, June.
So we're close to the Acolyte, and I got hyped off that just one little sequence. Also, I'm hyped because we're getting a fucking Jedi Wookiee, dude.
finally. I mean, we've had one in the Clone Wars, but yeah.
Nah, man, I'm excited. But yeah, Phantom Menace was fun. Fuck all you haters. That's right. I'm shouting you out. This is a Star Wars Day special. Fuck all your haters.
This is Phantom Menace occasion. Fucking rocks. I'm being the hater. If Brian is saying it, and you know you fucked up.
Nah, man. Dude, I understand people don't like the prequels.
I was that guy. But in all honesty, I still liked them. I ragged on them, but I still fucking love them.
I was an 8-year-old kid again, dude.
I bet.
getting to have their first in theater Star Wars experience. I saw the original trilogy at home with the gold set, the white screen set. But like, I don't know. Call me biased, call me nostalgic, but I had a fucking great time. And you know what I did? You know what I did when I got home? I played some fucking Battlefront 2.
Oh.
Well, actually, no. I play Pod Racer first, then Battlefront 2. Because I was all up in Star Wars.
Hell yeah.
What did you do, though, for Star Wars Day?
I was just not doing that. I actually played a Lord of the Rings game most of the day. Funny enough.
Okay.
It was really cool.
Which Lord of the Rings game?
Cool, like, action-adventure game. I forgot what it's called, but... Yeah, play with Nate and Isabel. They have this like, it's like almost like you make choices, and then if you complete it, certain things happen. We played that together.
Is that the one that has like the TV component?
Yeah.
Really cool. I played that with them before. That was fun.
Yeah. I got redemption. I had like two epic moments, and the last time I played, I killed our team with my death. But this time, I had redemption. Nice. But yeah, I didn't do anything fun except wear Star Wars stuff. But I will say it was on my mind because there was a finale that was on my mind. So I just want to say we saw the finale that week. You and I, Brian, we just talked about it before we started today. The Bad Batch finale aired. It was a nice 50-minute finale. Mm-hmm. Do we want to put that spoiler tag on real quick?
I am doing it right now.
Yeah. So Bad Batch finally came to an end after 3 seasons. And all that set up, everything brought us back to planet Tantus, place they broke out of. They have to go back in. I'm not going to say any more until that spoiler tag is up. So
the you've spoiler been warned, tag though. Is... Spoilers so, are in live. Effect.
No, we're talking spoilers about the Bad Batch live. Wow, what a finale. I was really scared for the team. I thought...
They dude, what a swerve.
Gone. Right. I thought there were a few swerves, honestly. I was like, what? So I've been talking with, you know, Brian and a couple others, like, oh, they're dead. Like the Bad Batch is fucking dead. Like we've been so
conditioned over the years to just think like this is a one way in, one no way out situation.
Yeah, there was the team goes in. They, of course, rescue Omega, right, who's been incarcerated with her group of kids, and they make it out. I mean, I'm skipping a lot of details because there's some great moments, but it was just a great finale, and I'm glad it was a full 50 minutes, too. I was worried they were going to cram everything in 30. No, they really did, and kudos, of course, to the team, Filoni, you know, everybody involved. It was really good. Beginning to end, I was like, let's fucking go. It was... All right, but yeah, first impressions for me, loved it. I liked the choices they made, some great swerves. What about you, Brian? First impressions on that finale, what were you thinking?
Bro, like, from like the jump, you know, because the last episode, you know, they landed on the planet, they're making their way towards the facility, right? And then they, you know, run into some of the stormtroopers, like platoons that are coming and looking for them. You know, they find this creature, and of course, Wrecker has to kind of instigate the animal, gets fucked up by the animal.
Hell yeah, he does.
And I swear to God, I was so worried the whole episode thinking like, oh no, Wrecker is going to be the first one to go, because like they had all the death flags. Like, he was in pain. He was trying to fight through it like Wrecker does. Like, they gave him so many med packs, and it still wasn't enough, but he kept going. And I was like, this dude's going to drop dead. But it didn't happen. kept fighting. And even Crosshair got fucked up. That was surprising to me.
Because it's funny, when it happened... basically Crosshair, who's had a shaky hand, you know, there's some shit really rattling him. Of course, true to Star Wars nature, his hair is fucking up here. There we go. True to Star Wars nature, somebody lost a hand, and it was, they knew that there's like an evil Bad Batch, or what they could have become. They cut off his hand. I was like, what? Like, and that's the only thing we really lost, honestly, from the Bad Batch.
I made a fucked up joke when that happened, and it's like, oh, him and Echo are twinsies now.
Oh my god. That's fucked. Hunter got fucked, not that bad. Before we go into more plot stuff, I just want to say, I like someone's post saying, the Bad Batch rescues Echo, and the end, Echo rescues the Bad Batch. It's like poetry, it rhymes. But yeah, I just thought that was a great touch. And Echo's a homie, even though he's not, I mean, he's modified, but not like them. And that was great. But yeah. And that whole, like, the anti Bad Batch team, the Imperial version, they were scary, man. I was like, shit, they suck.
They were cool.
They were really cool. Like, one had like a flail. There was, of course, another sniper version. There was like a hunter. It was just cool seeing what they could have been. Of course, they're evil, right? And their designs were sleek, too. They were different enough, but you know, it's like, oh, clearly Imperial Bad Batch troopers, you know? It was a cool sight to see. And I do like, I mean, it's a swerve. We know they get out of it, but they put up a good fight against them. It's almost like toe-and-toe, but then eventually they just kick their ass. They kick the Bad Batch's ass, dude. It's not even like, it's... I wouldn't even say it's close. Like, it's like, oh damn! gave some great moments. It's like, oh, he's reaching for his rifle. Nah, it's like boom. It's like, damn, you think they're gonna? They don't make it out that way. So that was really cool. That whole fight sequence.
And I was kind of sad because we talked about this before. Like, we had this expectation that Tech was somehow gonna be, still involved, and it didn't happen, which it's not. I'm not disappointed. I'm just surprised, because that felt like that's what the first like special trooper was going to turn out to be.
The Anti-Crosshair there. Yeah.
And then it didn't happen, which, you know, is fine. It just shows that, you know, not everybody makes it out, you know, unscathed. You know, they still had to lose somebody. But
it adds the gravitas, honestly. Like, if he came back, I feel like if he comes back, someone else has to go. That's what I was thinking. So
What do you do when your team planner's gone and you're just flying by the seat of your pants for the most part?
Yep. It's funny because you're bringing up like the possibility of that tech person or tech coming back. It was clearly answered. It was not him, because it was a Wrecker, or Hunter throws a spear right through him.
Oh yeah.
I was like, oh shit. Nope.
That's not tech. it's not. Shit.
That was not tech. Someone's post was like a million souls screaming out in belief that was tech died out right there. Yeah. What were you going to say? Sorry, before I cut you off.
Fuck that. The scene with Nala Sane Rampart, dude.
Oh, I
like that whole sequence. So, when Echo breaks out, right, and meets up with Echo, and they break out the other imprisoned clones and Nala Sane. You know, they create a plan where, you know, the clone troopers and Echo are going to go in, make a distraction so that Omega can go free the rest of the Bad Batch. Well, Nala Say is like, well, they can't have this cloning information or like this, all this information we're working on. Yeah, we need to take it and wipe it. And, you know, of course, you see that she kind of just, you know, takes a thermal detonator and just kind of pockets it. And of course,
thermal detonator. Yeah.
And my God, there's a standoff between her and Rampart in the fucking lab. And right as about Rampart's just gonna, like, you know, it's like, you know, I'm gonna kill you. And he's like, now I'll say this is the Udo reverse card and throws the detonator.
It's a great moment on many fronts because Rampart, he's like, oh fuck, he's gonna get away. He has the cloning information, right? And he, of course, he's gonna use that to get back and good with the Empire. But of course, like you mentioned, she had the thermal detonator. And I love that his death was just like, boom, done. He's a piece of shit. Like, he didn't get, he didn't even get a second. He's like, oh, boom. Like, he doesn't even know he's fucking gone, which was great, honestly. Like, he, all the information he was going to use, fucking gone. And I love that someone pointed out, too, because my wife and I were sharing posts about it. Like, that explains, that explains why Palpatine's shit is so janky. He had the do-it-yourself cloning shit because it was all gone. That shit made me laugh.
He got a bunch of Snopes.
But yeah, here's your connection why they don't have good clones later. All gone. So I like that. Again, more connections to the sequels. I love that shit. But yeah, Rampart, ooh, that was a good way to close him off. I think that was pretty solid.
And just like, what a way for Nalase to go. Because Nalase is a veteran character. You know, she's been around since Attack of the Clones. Been in a lot of Clone Wars episodes. Yeah. You know, Kamino's fucked. Can't really do much with that. And to kind of have this period of time throughout Bad Batch where she's doing the Empire's work. You know, she doesn't like it, but she's doing it. And so kind of having it be her last action to just kind of say, fuck you, and get rid of all of her life's work and willingly doing so is a little poetic in its own right.
I mean, also, someone else pointed out, it rhymes like poetry. Like, Rampart blew up Kamino, she blows up Rampart. I'm like, oh, fuck, that's perfect. So, I want to fast forward to a really cool scene. So, Omega, of course, needs help freeing the Bad Batch, but they have, you know, they're trapped by the evil Bad Batch, right? And she, of course, frees Wrecker, who's going to set shit off. What I thought was really cool is not only are they fighting themselves up top, down below, some, like, half of them go down, half of them stay up. We have Echo and the other clones that are free, like, trying their best to take on these evil versions of them. And they're getting rocked, but I like that. But they still do well. Echo holds his own. And even, like, this other clone trooper, like, saves the day and takes out one of them. Like, and he, like, triple taps the guy. I was like, fuck. But he knew. He, like, he can't let up. And that was just a good action sequence. And seeing that even though they are at a disadvantage, they're like, their whole theme is like, they're brothers, they're family, they're coming back for each other, they've got each other's back, and they're just gonna break each other out, and they're there for each other, you know? That was
cool. Yeah. And I just like the idea that, you know, this whole time we thought it was doom. Like, the whole episode just, like, was doom and gloom. And to be able to actually, like, be shocked that we're getting a kind of a happy ending for the Bad Batch. The catwalk scene.
Oh,
I still think it's
cinematic beauty.
Like, when people diss all of the Star Wars animated productions, like, I look at that scene and I'm like, how the fuck can you, like, not see how, like, quality this is? Because, like, the whole scene was, I don't know if it could be done any other way. Just, like, everything seemed, like, hopeless, you know. Hemlock is taking Omega away. It's, like, pouring ass rain, kind of like on Kamino.
I thought that, too. I was like, that it's ending how it began.
But then, even though like Crosshair, like, you know, had all of his issues throughout this entire series and like having his hand cut off, I'm so satisfied with the fact that he got the hit in. Like, this whole time, ever since Crosshair has been brought back into the Bad Batch, the whole thing was like the shaky hand. Like, when it comes time for the shot that counts, he can't do it. And so, in a way, I guess symbolism of having that weight cut off, like that baggage kind of cut off in a sense.
Yeah.
Like, and especially with like just like the help of Hunter, like being like, you can do this, like just fucking do it.
Yeah.
And was able to just like nail in that shot and allow for Hunter to fucking come in and like do the double tap and just, you know, because I swear to God, I thought Hemlock was going to get shot. Either he was going to try to drag Omega like down with him, or like he had some kind of, you know, fail safe plan or something. But no, he just thrown off to the side. Fuck it. You know, whatever.
And it just shows like Crosshair's growth with Omega. Like, they've grown to trust each other. He's like, I know what she's going to do. And it's like, is she? Are they in sync? Yeah, they are. You know, that's her. Those are her brothers. And oh man, just that fucking up Scorch too. I love Republic Commander as much as any other nerd, but I was like, he's gotta go. People who are really upset about that, they gotta let it go. But it's just like, oh damn, he ain't shit. He's been Hemlock's guy. He gets thrown away. Like,
yeah, I'll say this, fucking, and that's Imperial Commandos, which I'm calling them now because they have effectively got a downgrade for sure.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like, I see like maybe like one or two effective like commandos throughout this entire series. The other ones just get clowned on so hard.
I mean, they're better than commandos, honestly. But yeah, and the moment they take out Hemlock was, oh, so good, like you were saying. Just gone. Good, yeah. Good shit. Again, they built up a really good villain. Like, not he's threatening in a different way. He had power, but like over them in a different, he wasn't just strong. He was like intellectually like, you know, a problem for them, which I really like. It's like they had power and, you know, weapons, but he was, you know, thinking ahead until he couldn't. So
yeah,
good villain, honestly.
And then we get the nice little fast forward, you know, after the day is saved and they return back to their little safe haven, you know, we get a flash forward and we get a older Omega, you know, going back to the same cave that Ventress was in, but this time she has her own ship, and who's there waiting for her than Hunter? Yeah. And it turns out Omega is going to join the Rebel Alliance. Mm-hmm. Which makes me wonder, I know this is like a new development, but will we see Omega again in another project?
They kind of hinted that they're going to do new stuff with Ventress. I think they're going to cross paths. Oh. That's what I think.
Okay.
They said their Ventress's story is not done. So that makes me think we'll get a Tales of the Rebellion, maybe. Maybe they'll team up. Tales of the New Republic. Who knows? Again, they opened up a new doorway. And with a great character, like, why not explore it? When it's done right like that, I mean, honestly, I don't think they've really messed up. But it's intriguing. It's cool. We got a new adventure. It is funny, though. Someone did a side-by-side of, like, old Rex and old Hunter. It's like, damn, what happened? But, again, he was, like, a mutant. you know, one was, like, aging super rapidly. Mm-hmm. But, yeah, I would love to see if Omega, you know, where she was at the Rebellion. Maybe, you know, we had a throwaway line for Rogue One, right? A team died to get the information, right? Or something like that, right? There's a team for Episode 4 or something. I mean, even the Clone Wars, like, your father was in the Clone Wars. Like, a whole line they built a whole story out of, right?
Well, I think, wasn't the line like a... Well, wasn't that Rogue One?
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Like, I mean, will we get an Omega connection maybe to how they got the plans in Return of the Jedi? I'm just saying, there's options. What?
I mean,
many Bothans died to get this information. So, it's just saying.
I mean,
I think we could do it.
It's a possibility because, I mean, like, shit. Up until a month ago, I thought Ventress was dead. And now she's not. Which is cool. I'm all up for some more Ventress. You know, I think it's as much as the books are very good.
Yeah.
Dark Disciple is a really good book. If anyone hasn't read it or listened to the audiobook, I recommend going to listen to the audiobook because they actually get a lot of the voice actors for those books. But Dark Disciple, we thought that was the end, but now we're going to be getting even more stories because they realize hey, we could tell more with this story and maybe get a Quinlan Vos. He's referenced in Kenobi. He's referenced in this fucking show.
I'm just saying, I think with Ventress and Quinlan, it's probably not going to be as good as an ending. I'm sorry, as happy as an ending because we don't see them later. But we thought that about the Bad Batch too. So maybe they just fuck off to the Outer Rim and they're like, fuck this. This galaxy sucks. We leave it. I don't know. who knows? More Star Wars content. Fuck yeah. Why not?
Fuck it. Wild prediction. Ahsoka season 2. Find out the reason why you haven't been able to find Quinlan Vos because he figured out a way to fucking jump to the next galaxy. And he's fucking just sitting there being like, yo, what's up? Just hanging out.
That would be so funny. Oh, you know what? Maybe Baylan finds Quinlan with the statue. And that's right. Where's he been? Maybe him and Ventress are chilling, and then that's the point of contention. And they're like, you can't, he's like, you need to send me back. And Quinlan's like, nah, man, I'm chilling. I don't need to go back.
I mean, who's to say? Because, the Fallen Order game, the Jedi games are canon. Who's to say at some point, Cal cross paths with Quinlan and be like, hey, I found a way to another fucking galaxy.
Want to go to Tanlor, Quinlan?
Want to go to Tanlor? You wanna get some Jedi refugee or Force sensitive refugees away? Got Tanlor. I had to kill a guy, but
yeah, yeah.
I mean, it's possible. It's possible.
With what they're doing, it's just so good. I can't. I'm glad we're leaving the Skywalker story. They're filling in the gaps with Acolyte and other things, but it's all really good content. I mean, for me, I guess
they're very easy to please.
But that too, I am fucking forgiving. I realize I'm very forgiving with a lot of content.
It's fine.
Of course, Marcelo disagrees with us on a lot of stuff, which is fair. It's good to have that different opinion, but
he keeps us in check.
I realize, does he? But yeah, we're this is great, and he's like, is it though? Bad Batch ended well.
It did.
Yeah, I can't wait to see what's next.
So moving on. We also got something else on Star Wars Day. Joel, you haven't finished it yet, but Tales of the Empire came out. It was a 6-part miniseries. So you saw the first half then, right?
Yeah, I did. I saw the Elspeth Morgan stuff.
That's wild. Do you want to? So let's just talk about the first half because I've seen the whole thing. But you haven't, so I feel like we should hold off on a second part. We can talk about it next time.
It's Barriss Offee too. Fuck, but I haven't got to it yet.
So I guess spoilers for part first half of Tales of the Empire, so episodes 1, 2, and 3. Spoiler warnings back in session. Okay, so Morgan Elspeth. People that remember from Mando season 2, Ahsoka season 1, a Night Sister who became a magistrate for this planet, for the Empire, and kind of started doing her own thing. This is basically the three-part story of her kind of rise to where she is by the time of Mando season 2. Joel, for being a sad situation, how fucking awesome was it to see Grievous again in that animation style?
It's always fucking good to see Grievous. Ever since they nerfed his ass, I am always happy to see Grievous. But damn, he was kicking ass, and he's not pulling punches, and he's smart, you know. We have this beginning sequence, he's fighting the Night Sisters, and he's fighting like this souped up Night Sister with like sickles. But, you know, she can only take on 2 lightsabers. Of course, we know Grievous. He's got like 4 arms and pulls out the trickaroo, stabs her, right? Does his iconic spinny move on Obi. You know, he does an Obi-Wan. Doesn't work on Obi-Wan, of course. But it was a really cool moment. And we get this buildup of like the, I almost said the Empire, the Trade Federation, you know, hunting them down. I was like, fuck, that sucks. But it's funny how usually this sets like someone to do something right in motion, right? But instead, this sets Morgan Elspeth on a journey of revenge. And it's crazy because she gets like KO'd and she wakes up with this like these like mountain people, Night Sisters that are cool and chill, like, no, we shouldn't fight.
The good witches. She's
like, no, we can't stand around. We need to take power in our own hands and do something now. And of course, some of the young people are like, yeah, she's right. And they fucking get iced for it because we're listening
to her.
It's like,
we're going to go to cave and we're going to train. 5 minutes later, the Trade Federation shows up. Fuck.
Yeah. And I love that it's not a great thing, too. They don't epically fight and die. They just fucking die. Like, it's like, ugh.
They
like,
drop. They have
no training. And, you know, Morgan Elspeth does her best, but she can't take on all those droids. And then, like, of course, the, like, not Night Sister mother comes by, saves the day, blasts all the droids. It's like, just because I don't want to fight doesn't mean I can't, which is a great line. But she uses, like, her, like, Night Sister powers to eradicate the droids. But, like, she loses her daughter in the process because, you know, she followed her. And she's like, she basically says to end the episode, like, I see your future and it's not great. And, you know, that doesn't change her either. She's like, well, fine. I'm going to fuck it. I'm going to be the baddie I want to be. So that happens.
Can I ask you this question? Has it always been a thing where if, like, a certain coven of Night Sisters gets eradicated, like, the remaining survivors lose their magic?
I don't know. I thought that was a first for me. Actually, that was a great point. I missed that you brought up. Yeah, just like if the coven is gone, they lose their powers, which is cool. But I guess that makes sense.
It makes me question, like, because Ventress still kind of has hers, and then, you know, we get Marin.
Yeah.
So I mean, I guess it just depends. You know, that's true. Maybe. Because that's kind of, you know, they're intertwined in a way.
Yeah.
But of course, you know, Mother Talzin is a hard person to fucking put down. Because even in the afterlife, she's still trying to curse people.
I'm sure that's why Ventress came back. She's like, I need you to haunt people. She's like, nah, I'm alive. Fuck this. Like, I'm sure Mother Talzin's probably going to be in fucking Acolyte fucking shit up too.
I didn't even think about that.
Maybe. Ooh. We get more magic. Honestly, the Force is magic, but like magic proper, I'd say. And I'm
magic with a K.
Yeah. But I just remember seeing that the first time in Clone Wars, like, oh, we're getting fucking magic? Dope. Like, I didn't think, I mean, in a world of technological shit and midichlorians, it never crossed my mind to think about magic. And then now we have it. So dope. You know? But yeah, I know you want to talk about episode 2, Brian. So. I guess through episode 2 of Tales of the Empire.
Yes. So, you know, this is kind of more into Morgan's kind of time with the Empire. You know, she's having more issues, at least with, you know, she got put on this kind of desolate planet. It's pretty much the place where we meet her in Mandalorian. I forget the name of the little village town that she gets placed in.
Corvus? I don't know.
But it's kind of like the beginnings of her time as the magistrate there. And of course, she, like you said, she's being the best baddie that she can be. And a lot of the people in town don't appreciate it too much. So it's kind of this like push and pull between them. And of course, her idea, which actually I thought was a very interesting touch, because it turns out she's the one that came up with the idea for the TIE Defenders, which up until this point, we thought it was a Thrawn thing. From, because if you remember in season 3 of Rebels, Thrawn is the one that kind of implements the TIE Defender program. Little do we know, we find out this is how he gets it, because by the end of this episode, after the entire rest of like the committee of the Empire says, "Nah, fuck your plans, we're going to do our Death Star thing," Thrawn shows up unannounced and is just like, "Hey, you want to do some business?"
Yeah, right.
So I thought that was actually pretty interesting, because I was like, huh, all right, you know, makes sense. You know, somebody within the Empire makes a good idea and they get told no. And so what do you do? Align with the one person that's going to, you know, go with your plan. And it turns out it creates this whole relationship between the two of them as to why in Ahsoka, Morgan's like, oh, I need to go find Thrawn. We need to go rescue Thrawn, you know. But yeah, what did you think about this episode?
It was a really, really cool episode. Again, like that TIE Defender connection was dope. I was not expecting that. And of course the Imperials were like, yeah, I guess it's cool, but it's costly. It's like, of course they fucking would say that, right? Yeah, and it's like, what do you, you know, why is she being tested? And Sarah's like, who sent this hitman? I was like, oh, it's the Empire. And I was fucking right. And we've seen that guy before. I think he gets killed later. He's like attacking the clones
He's Thrawn's bodyguard.
That's what it is. Okay. He's a fucking, anyway, they did him good, making him annoying. But yeah, she shows she can defend the village, but you know, it's to their downfall, because she rules with like an iron hand, and it's cool seeing her use the Beskar spear. That was pretty dope. But yeah, just like, oh, you know, this is the person to answer to. Here they are. And Thrawn's like, you want some Star Destroyers? I was like, oh, of course, this is how we get this connection. And it was dope. I will say, little Easter egg for those who know, the person who plays Morgan Elsbeth, Diana Lee Inosanto, her dad worked with Bruce Lee. And I feel like there was
the niece of Bruce Lee. Yep.
Yeah. There's a clear ode when she holds the best guard to be a certain way, kind of like Bruce does. I was like, oh, they snuck that shit in there. I know what you're doing.
I just want to interject real quick. I would not forgive myself if I forgot what the bodyguard's name is. It's Rook. Rook is a very well-known like character within like the Thrawn story. We met him in Rebels when he got his ass clapped by Zeb and Callus.
I just wanted
to interject for a second.
I mean, I forgot about him until we saw him. I was like, this fucker again? And it's cool. I like seeing there's a little hint of someone who appears in the next episode kind of in the background. But this guy, Wing, is like, I don't know if we could, like, be with this person. And but they're passive. But also they're passive because they don't think they could really do anything against her. And when they try, we'll see what happens, right? Overall, again, the seedlings of like how she connects to the bigger universe being established here.
Yes. And of course, the Morgan story concludes with another fast forward to the beginnings of the New Republic, where They return to Corvus, and one of the former members of the community comes back, and she has a new self-appointed title, or not self-appointed, but a new Republic title. I think her name was Nadura.
Yeah,
I believe. Nadura, I think. Comes back to kind of be like, hey, you're kind of an enemy of the New Republic. You did a lot of shit for the Empire, you know.
Yeah.
Come turn yourself in. And then, of course, Morgan's like, nah, bitch, I ain't going nowhere.
Yeah, I got kill her. And it wasn't even like stop him. She straight up said, kill her. And they fuck up those New Republic soldiers. They weren't ready for that.
No.
Oh, man.
It just this whole, creates this whole fucking debacle. Like, you know, blaster fires being sprayed out everywhere, you know, the whole bunch of destruction is happening. And then the last part, Nadura gets shot. You know, she has the communicator. She's trying to make a distress signal. Wing comes out. Pretty much like is about to like answer the distress call. And then fucking Morgan just comes in, fucking smashes the device, and then just tells her mercenaries, I guess, for lack of a better term. Rebel
people, yeah.
Burns down the forest that's around them, and then basically closes the gates, being like, there is no escape from this place. You are staying here. You are my subjects. And then it presents the field that we are introduced to in Mandalorian, all the charred, ash-ridden trees, and it creates this picture of like this is the Morrigan that you know now, compared to where she started, and it's neat. I personally, you know, for the bits and pieces I did like about this first half, I know you haven't gotten there yet, but I prefer the Bear stuff to Morgan. Like, they're both cool, and there's good insights on both characters for sure. But like the stuff that you're gonna see with the Bear stuff, I think is really interesting, especially where it ends up. And just like, I guess it's because it's just more recency bias, because we've been getting a lot more of this Inquisitor stuff.
Yeah.
Recently.
Yeah.
And so seeing that whole process with through the eyes of a character that we've known from the Clone Wars, I think it's just a little bit more interesting. But Morgan is still a really cool character. You know, to see her perspective through basically three eras of Star Wars, because literally each episode is a different era of Star Wars. You got the the Republic, the Empire, and then the New Republic. So it's like, oh, it's interesting, you know. And I got to see Thrawn again, so I was very happy.
Oh, yeah. I was like, Brian's going to love this part. A young Thrawn, Admiral Thrawn, not Grand Admiral.
Magistrate Elspeth.
Yeah. He's a Star Destroyer.
I'm going to take those plans for the TIE defenders, and then some rebels are going to fuck it up.
I'm not even going to use them. Okay, there's like three of them, but still.
I will rub it in Director Krennic's face, though.
Well, see how that goes.
But yeah, I can't wait to talk to you about the Bear stuff. Because that's going to be a fun talk. But, you know, yeah, other than
splice that, together this half, but just boom.
Right. But yeah, Tales of the Empire, another good example of good Star Wars animation. Just a good it's time good for Star Wars animation. Content. Oh, yeah.
It's good. It's 15 minutes, or it says 17, but it's like, what, 2 or 3 minutes of credits? So, you know, yeah. I was going to try to squeeze it in before we started, but just didn't have time. But. It's really good short form content. You want some quick Star Wars? Boom, turn it on. Even the first one, Tales of the Jedi, was honestly pretty compelling
too. That one is really fun.
Dooku, you know, they love, you know, fleshing Dooku out, and they did a great job. And we, of course, we get characters we didn't see like return, or they get more of a, you know, of a spotlight, which is really cool. So I'm very curious to see what they do for the second half of Tales of the Empire.
Yeah, I will say though, I kind of hope that if and when they do more of these like Tales of series, I hope they keep the format of Empire, because I like that you have just one chunk dedicated to a character and then you move on to the next one. Like,
yeah.
Tales of Jedi wasn't too bad because it was just Ahsoka and Dooku, but
yeah,
I felt like the pacing got a little weird for me just because they kept going back and forth between Ahsoka and Dooku, where it's just like, I want to see the Dooku stuff first, because after reading the Dooku Jedi Lost book, I was just like, dude, I want to see fucking young Dooku doing shit, you know? And I still remember the episode where it was young Dooku with his young Padawan Qui-Gon going on a mission, you know, and then it's kind of like having that dynamic where like Dooku is starting to kind of like be like, Jedi aren't really doing what they're supposed to be doing anymore. I don't like this kind of thing. I'm going to, you know, handle shit on my own. And of course,
I'm going to go join the Trade Federation and kill some Jedi.
Bye, Qui-Gon. Hope you don't die by some red and black man.
I'm going to kill Sifo Dyas with the help of Palpatine, because fuck it, why not?
Yeah. Oh, man. But yeah, Tales of the Empire, really fun. We will talk about it more next time so that Joel can catch up on it. And
we're going to watch it in an hour.
Hell yeah. As far as that goes, don't really, I think I'm all kind of Star Wars out.
I just want to say, in relation to space, James, if you're still here, reminder, next week, next Friday, y'all are going to Tachanka. I hope you didn't forget.
Oh, shit, no.
And I have a little something for you guys before we get started, so... basically, just want to say, for those who don't know, T'Chanka is a big planet point in the Mass Effect series. Hyping it up. So I just want to hype it up even more that we got some cool... it's going to be a cool sequence. I thought of some new swerves to throw you guys to. It's like, ooh, this will be really cool. So if you don't know, it's a big point where this one race of people wants to not be sterilized anymore. And basically, you have the choice to unsterilize them to help your fight or keep the status quo, and then it comes back to bite you later. And I want to see what you guys choose. Yeah, I am.
It'll be interesting.
To do that D&D session. Yeah, that'll be cool. So, get ready. It's gonna be a fucking day.
Yeah.
You guys excited? Yeah, we still play D&D. We didn't forget. I know we talk a lot about gaming and shit, but we still up in that.
Yeah, we do. We do it. I guess before we wrap it up, I want to give a reminder that this month, of course, is another championship stream. We're going to be doing it on Memorial Day. Oh, he's got it right there.
I've been waiting. What's the challenge? Let's fucking go.
So,
what is it? Or is it still a surprise? He said it was a surprise. So, champions.
I know the challenge is a little delayed, but I guarantee you, Joel, it's going to be worth the wait. I just need a little bit more time to get everything all set up. But we could tell everybody out there listening, watching right now, is that we're going to be changing up a little bit, because this is not going to be on the weekend. This is going to be prime time, because we're going to be doing it Friday the 24th. Right before Memorial Day weekend. This is Memorial Day weekend. We want to enjoy Memorial Day, but we want to kick off the 3-day weekend with another championship stream. And believe all y'all me, it's going to be a very, very special stream. So look out I will be posting the details of the challenge soon. I just need to get a little bit of finishing touches on it, and you'll see what happens. But we might be getting, I believe we're getting the full squad together, so it's going to be a cool, fun time.
Hell yeah.
And I hope that you guys come along with us. We need hype. But yes, so...
Yeah.
Without further ado, this is where we will be ending the podcast. So thank you for watching and listening with us. If you're out there in the YouTube realm, we appreciate you guys. Just a little bit ago, we hit 34 followers. We appreciate you. Let's get that up to 50.
Oh, yeah.
Let's get that halfway mark to 100, man.
And also, thanks for like the 500-600 people that saw the video of us complaining to Professor Oak. That was dope. So thank you. And we got like 10 likes. So for us, that's a big deal. So appreciate you guys. I feel like TikTok's been fucking us. But anyway.
Yeah, it's TikTok.
YouTube, I see some growth, and of course we get a little here on Instagram too. So thank you guys. Of course we love the reposts, we love the likes, we love the interaction. So just again, thank you, and thank you for helping us grow. 34 followers, shit, we were like struggling last year. So hey man, we're growing, hey, we're going.
It's all thanks to you guys, because with every like, with every subscribe on the YouTube show, with every interaction that you give us, we love interacting with you guys. It gets the word out there that United We Nerd is for everybody. Anybody unless that wants to come hang out, unless you hate the Phantom Menace. But you know, it's fine. Even if you hate the Phantom Menace, you know, we could be civil about it. We'll make it work. I guarantee it.
I will. I will. I'll make it work. But
yeah, we appreciate you guys. We will see you next time. But until then, I've been Brian. That's been Joel. And just remember to forever and always keep on nerding.
Yeah, what you mean?